Hey guys, we're live here from Infocom 2018. I'm going to be talking with Ernie Bailey, Gina Sansevero, and Jason Taylor, and we're going to be talking about all the highlights from the Infocom floor, as well as things going forward, and what's it like being a new tech manager at Infocom for the first time. All this and more on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 63, live from Infocom 2018.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Extron Electronics.
This is EdTech, the monthly higher ed tech podcast. I'm your host, Bill O'Donnell. We are currently from the wonderful Infocom convention here in wonderful Las Vegas. And today I'm joined by Jason Taylor from Drexel University. Next to him is the ever loving and ever so sweet Gina Sansevero. And as always, as I say, my wonderful counterpart, Mr. Ernie Bailey. How's everyone today?
Wonderful.
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. So, Infocom is coming, and it's in the last little realm of going here. We got to walk the floor. I was hopping around like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest, but you know, you do what you can. Anyway, so we looked at a couple of things. Jason, I'm going to go to you first. What was some of the things that you looked at and said, that's interesting? Or at least just going, I'm going to use that at some point in the future.
One of the first things that I saw when I walked onto the floor was the HyperVision holograms
on the
fans, and that was pretty great. But I think the highlight for me for the show was the Sony screen. I think it was 12K. It kind of made real life look like video games. I felt like I didn't know that my eyes could see that well.
Which is really funny because at this show, Samsung went and deployed their commercial 8K, which they went and said, the wall. So it's one of those things where, you know, I just laugh. I look and I go, yeah, look, we're producing out the 8K. Sony did a 12K.
But
did Sony do it?
Video walls definitely seem to be almost a theme of the show.
Yes. It's one of those things where not only is it the higher resolution, it's also how much of a crazy curve we can do. If you looked at LG's booth, it literally had a wave going on, which was cool, but at the same time, if your budget is anything like mine, you look at that and go, cool.
Yeah.
Completely not a chance.
Unattainable.
Not a chance.
The translucent OLED screen at LG also was something that I thought was pretty cool.
Now that is cool. The question that I have for this, and Ernie, I'll shoot this one to you as well. My question is, it's cool. How are you going to mount that thing?
Exactly.
On the top or on the bottom?
That's
one
true.
Of
those.
Yeah.
The more I thought about that, the more I kept thinking, you know, Chief or Milestone, now it's LeGrand. You know, the guys over at Chief are just looking at this going, okay, now we're getting into metal origami.
Right, yeah.
But so aside from that, any other notes, or you just kind of looked at everything and went,
yeah, I everything that I was impressed by was completely, you know, unattainable for me. But I saw a lot of really cool stuff.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Gina, I know you being you working for FSR and everything. You know, it's almost like you've got a invisible boundary of, you know, this is your area. Don't go outside of it. However,
it's like the Roomba, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I was gonna go with the invisible electric fence, but I like the Roomba far better. My question to you is, as a manufacturer, and also, you know, as an education rep and everything, what were some of the questions, or at least what were some of the more, it's going to be a two-parter here, what were some of the things that you looked at and said, or at least folks kept asking one after the other, it was, you know, hitting question A, and then the other one I'm going to ask is, was there at least one where, you know, you guys went, huh, that's a good idea?
So, I am sure that we will have a lot of huh moments. We will debrief after Booth Teardown tonight, mm-hmm. and I would love to be on again to try and tell you what those hum moments are, but I don't really have a hum moment right now.
Okay, well.
But as far as questions being asked, we're seeing, I think that trend that technology managers and end users are kind of taking over mm-hmm. continued this year. We've seen a lot of technology managers, a lot of end users on the show floor, just like we did last year, mm-hmm. and they're asking for unique cable management and connectivity solutions. So you have a lot of minimalist tables now, you have a lot of see-through tables now, mm-hmm. you have a lot of really it's mobile furniture. So how do we hide things right. when it's mobile?
Yeah.
Right?
This is the, this seems to be a kind of a follow-up wave. And if you know if you've done the renovations like I have, the only person who I think gets a little bit of a pass might be Ernie, only because everything has to, like, depending on the classroom, certain things have to be medically sealed.
Right. Mm.
But the bigger thing is a lot of times when we have these big renovations or even new construction. Sometimes the architects will be smart enough to at least partner with a proper consultant that knows these things. But in my case, we've had architects who went and said, "Isn't it wonderful? Doesn't it look great?" And I've tended to look and go and say, "Where's the cable management?"
Right.
They're like, "But doesn't it look cool?"
Well, and that's a good point, right? So we're asked for charging a mm-hmm. lot, power a lot, and mobile power a lot because you have these beautiful new buildings. But the students are sitting on the floors in the hallway next to the only outlet yeah. for the next 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge trend this year.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you guys is doing the huddle blocks, in the fact that, and this kind of goes back to the architect thing, in the fact that you guys, as well as Mid-Atlantic and even Marshall and AVF, have all started listening about these things, in which the architects usually have looked and said, it's kind of wonky, or, it doesn't match my color palette. Now, the moment that you guys went over and started doing things where it's like, we can do stuff in Wilson Art colors, or, whatever Wilson Art high-pressure laminate, that seemed to have gotten kind of the architects' hackles down. But it's one of those things. Well, here's the thing. You know, the architect is going to say, this is how it goes. If we're at least meeting them going forward with this, it makes life a little bit easier.
Yeah, so, we focus on functionality first, mm-hmm. And then we make sure that it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be customized to look good and work well.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. So, Ernie, what
yes.
was, as I say, I'm sure you have had far more time on the floor than I did, so I want to hear what piqued your interest.
Well, there were several interesting things. Most people know I started out in audio, so that's where I looked first, and I mean, I don't think there were more than two or three booths out there that did not have a sign about, being Dante.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
The great unifier.
One of the most interesting things I saw, and it's one of those, I can't figure out how to use it in my situation. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, of course.
Countryman has a tap shoe with a microphone in it and a transmitter in the heel they made for the Rockettes. How you mix 60 shoes on a stage, I don't know.
Oh, come on, it's a shoe-in. I did it. I had to do it. It was one of those ones I had to go for it. But
yeah.
It's still, so it is one of those ones that it makes you look and go, huh? But once you actually hear the actual application and where it's going, you're like, this makes sense.
I'm just imagining 60 shoes and surround sound in that sense.
Oh, God. Can you imagine Riverdance?
Yeah. That's where I was getting ready to go. We talked to someone who has done Riverdance performances, and they were seriously interested in these shoes.
Oh, yeah. He came along with us.
It
was Keith from, he was from the University of Calgary.
Yeah.
And, we had some interesting bits, I think, especially because he told me about how they also used to do miking, mic setups for bagpipes. Which also, here's a fun note. Here's the fun note on this one. Why is it that there's so many bagpipe players usually in marching bands?
Is this a joke?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
Why?
Oh, it's because they're all trying to get away from the music themselves, too. Ah, come on, folks. It's Vegas. It's Vegas.
Oh,
it's
bad.
Day three. I'm amazed. I'm coherent with all the... Let's put it this way. There was a lot of things that were covered. There was a lot of things that were talked about. You got to see a lot of people. There was a lot of dinner and drinks and post-convention chats, such as, you know, oh, I need this to happen, or I'm looking at this. This seems cool. And actually, the thing that I saw that I thought was really kind of interesting was from a company called Captiva.
Yeah.
And what they do is it's a whiteboard slash glassboard capture camera. So, you know, say, you know, we've all kind of gotten used to doing the document camera setups and everything, but I know at least our music faculty, they'll look at our document cameras and they're like, it's not covering the entire spreadsheet or the entire sheet. I need something bigger. Or if they're writing out the score and everything. So what this does, what they do is they've actually made a camera that it actually mounts to the wall. It mounts to the wall, kind of like a short throw arm, and it then captures any still images on the whiteboard. So you can be writing, and it won't see your hand until you hold it there. I think they said for like 7 seconds.
7 seconds.
Which, you know, if you're holding your hand in place for 7 seconds on a whiteboard.
You're not doing it, but
the interesting thing that came from that is that it's power over Ethernet and network based, so you can either do, they had three models. There was an HDMI output one, which to me just, I heard that and went, well, it's just a wall mounted dock cam. There's the cloud version, and then there's the self-hosted model.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really liked about it is that, as we were talking with the guys, as you write out your notes and wipe things off and everything, it records it in a timeline. And so what it does, what it goes and does from there, is it actually goes and sets up separate pages. So you can actually download everything as a PDF, and from there you can just as easily load it up to Blackboard or LMS and everything.
Right. Now, it will capture individual pages if you want it to, or it will capture the whole deck as a single PDF.
Sure.
So you have a PDF book
yep.
at the end of your talk if you need it.
Which, you know, depending on the faculty member that that you or I know, some of them will go and say, that's quaint, and then the others will go, oh, this has made my life so much easier.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm actually looking forward to that, and I believe the price was actually fairly reasonable. I think it was
just under $1,000.
Just under $1,000. So it's one of those things. I could see that taking off very easily in the active learning space.
Yes.
As well as in Ernie, as I say, Ernie, in your case, yeah. a couple of the lecture halls. Although
right.
the real question is going to be, at least for me, what I see it as. If in the future, if they can make it where you could actually rotate the head, because in larger lecture halls, you know as well as I do, they still have the sliding whiteboards or sliding.
We've gotten rid of most of the sliding ones. This one's limited to a 4x6 format, also.
Okay.
So you cannot have a bigger image than 4x6.
Fair enough.
And you might also want to mention that Crestron's marketing the same device.
True.
And they were kind enough to tell us who was making it.
Yes, they were actually good about that. So it definitely makes life a little easier on that one. I mean, listen, if you're comfortable with buying it from Crestron, fine. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I kind of like going directly to the source. But as I say, even Crestron, you know, has it right on their box where it says, I believe it says Crestron, but also underneath it says Captiva.
Captiva. So,
yeah, kept you. I'm going to be doing that. As I say, it's one of those ones where I'm like, I'm sure I'm going to end up seeing the PR, marketing or PR folks, and they're going to like just all of a sudden just brand it on my forearm. They're like, don't mess it up again. But the only other thing that I saw, then it's one of these things where it's a size reduction, but at the same time, it's one of those things. I like it, especially in that you could probably end up doing this in student unions or hallways as a kind of a background noise generator kind of thing. Atlas did their strategic hidden speaker series.
Yes.
And that is actually pretty cool in the fact that the literally the actual output area of where the lens was probably really no bigger than the diameter of the coffee cup.
Three inches.
There we go. So it's barely noticeable, and you can adjust the coverage spread and everything.
And I was very impressed with the sound coming out of it.
Yeah.
For the size of it.
And Ernie, there was one other thing you had mentioned. It was a push pin
load lifter. I think is what they called it. Atlas had it. They apparently have had it for several years. Mm-hmm. I've just never seen it. But it's a device that will clamp into a rack. Mm-hmm. It's got pins that go into the rack holes that you can set your heavy equipment on mm-hmm. while you're installing it.
Fair enough.
You know.
So, Jason, yes. I know you're kind of new to this one, but and everything. But this is just one of those things I always like to get from folks and everything. First off, is this your first Infocom?
It is indeed.
Okay. So, second off. As I say, hey, Gina, that makes it 2 for 2. Last year we had Wendell. It was his first time. So
it was.
So I was actually going to ask you on this one, two things. One, how long had you known about Infocom, at least the show? And two was why this year as opposed to in previous times? And it could just easily be, well, they finally said yes.
The why is because I just recently, well, I guess almost a year ago, came into the position that I'm in now, where mm-hmm. I actually have some influence. I hadn't heard about the show really before, a few months ago.
Okay.
Cool. So, and I'm here because my predecessor, Rob Raspberry, can't be. So I'm filling in for him.
Fair enough. Rob, we miss you.
I do miss you.
But it's cool. So, how did you feel about everything? Did you take it all in and just went, oh, wow.
It's very overwhelming for sure.
Yep.
I was at an event in Virginia a couple months ago, and it was very small. Mm-hmm. And, just the two halls mm-hmm. are, very, it's a lot. I think I've been doing about 5 miles a day of walking, according to my phone.
Yeah. Now here's a fun one. If you come next year, it'll be in Orlando.
Yeah, and I hear that's just one big hall in Orlando.
Yeah. As I say, Ernie, how about this? You want to go halfsies? We rent two of the Rascal scooters.
Yeah.
And they're available for rent, right?
Yes, they are. That's how you make. Believe me. I may actually do that. Is I'll fly down at least a couple days early and just do some long term rentals. Hey, I've got a PayPal. I've got a PayPal business account and a card reader. Come on, I'll make this work. But it is good to hear new folks coming in and checking this out and everything. And
how do you retain all of the information that you get?
Well, I take notes on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I will probably not retain all of it, honestly.
Well, let's put it this way. First time at this show for everyone, it's kind of like drinking from a fire hydrant.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just because there is so much stuff. And as I say, Ernie, I think in the times that you and I have been here, I mean, there's been at least a couple of times where it's like, oh, did you know about this exhibit or at least this area? And it's like,
totally missed that.
That was there?
Yeah.
So one thing I learned is that today is the day where I shouldn't be flying out as soon as I leave this situation. And the floor is a lot less crowded than it has been the last couple days.
Yeah. Yep.
And I feel like it would be more advantageous for me to be leaving this evening or even tomorrow morning and having a little more time on the floor where there's a lot less crowd.
Well, you live, you learn. For next year.
For next year, I know.
Yeah, just remember, next year, bring a towel. The humidity in Florida is no joke.
The humidity in Philadelphia is also no joke.
Oh no! If anything, Gina is to say Gina's hair and my hair will fluff up by an extra inch just due to the frizz. But the thing is, though, it's good to see new folks coming to this. And if anything, this is a fun pop quiz bit. But what percentage of the show attendance do you think was tech managers?
Percent? I honestly, that's a hard question to answer.
So,
I would say it's kind of a low percentage, to be honest. There's a lot of people out there that are
All right. We're going to go down the line here with this, and this is just a little fun bit on this. So, Gina, what do you think was the percentage?
So do you know the real answer?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good.
I do.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm Alex Trebek in this.
Oh, what is?
I
would say probably 15%.
Okay, Ernie?
I'd go a little bit higher than that. I'd go probably 22, 23%.
Oh, well, as I say, unfortunately, all of you are wrong on this one. It's about 40%.
Oh, nice.
Holy
That's exciting.
Mackerel.
Yeah. That is exciting.
I was right when I said before that trend is increasing.
Yep. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Good. You know, I first started coming to Infocom, before some of y'all were born, probably. before it was Infocom, back when it was NAVA, if you were a technology manager, you had to have a manufacturer or a rep take you to booths, or they wouldn't talk to you.
Interesting.
Hmm. I mean, that was interesting. There's been a big change. That change really started in the late 90s. Mm-hmm.
The thing I remember last year, it was one of those things. We were kind of going through some of the booths and everything, and all of a sudden the big buzz. I remember it was like going through the Crestron booth, and all of a sudden everyone's like, "Oh yeah, no, we have to get everything set up. Why about this?" And I'm going, "What is there like another big consultant or something coming through?" They're like, "No, the folks from Facebook are coming through. We want to make sure everything's set." And it's like, there you go.
We saw people from Amazon. I mean, we saw definite like a completely different crowd than we used to see 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's and you know what? It's one of those things where I think it's a good thing because, from a feedback perspective, it's good for manufacturers. Listen, integrators are always going to be needed. I'm never going to say that they're not needed. Ernie and I can have different conversations about this, but they at least need them. For one, for the folks who don't know what they're getting into, or at least what they have with them. But secondly, is the fact that end users would usually tell the integrators. The integrators would then end up telling the manufacturers, "Yeah, listen, we need this box because you know we need to work it out to make it like a hang and bang kind of situation." But now I think the end users are actually coming more often to the shows and everything. You guys are actually getting direct feedback and getting going. Yeah, listen, this is cool. Hey, listen, we like your charging pads and everything, but they beep. Don't make them beep.
It's true.
And that's already that's been it. And from what folks have told me, that one's already been corrected.
That was a legitimate request.
Yes.
I think that's the truth, right? And I think that even show aside, a lot of manufacturers are willing to not only educate the tech managers directly now, mm-hmm. whereas they used to rely on the integrators to be able to do that for them. Mm-hmm. They'll educate directly, they'll train directly, mm-hmm. and still going through the dealer channel for purchasing.
Of course.
But just understanding that it's not a game of telephone, mm-hmm. where we assume you'd know how to use our products, how to install our products, how to troubleshoot our products, because you should have been taught, but now you're coming directly to us and we're addressing that.
And that's the thing that I think at the baseline of this with the show, and I really appreciate it, is the fact that there's always been, obviously, you know, Super Tuesday, there's always been training available and everything, but I think one of the bigger trends we've noticed is that not only are there more end users coming to the show, but the end users' knowledge base has gone up considerably.
Without a doubt.
So it's you know, we're getting better feedback about things. It's the, hey, listen, I want to do this. What do you have that can accomplish this? And actually, Ernie pointed this out to me, was the fact that we went by the Williams Sound, or sorry, now it's Williams AV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In which it's a assisted, as I say, essentially, it's you could take assisted listening, put it on a server system. But the nice thing is that you can take inputs via Dante, and then just send it out via what I believe it was iOS, yeah. Android, and a couple
yeah, it
other
comes
things.
Out via the campus Wi-Fi system.
Yep,
and there are free apps for all the different devices that are out there now.
Which from an ADA compliance, as well as just making things easier for our students, is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that I think comes out of this is that from a tech manager's perspective with all of us, as much as we look at stuff and, you know, Jason, you know, you saw like the wall. It's like, the wall's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the wall looks cool, but at the end of the day,
it's not only me that's it unattainable for, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but on top of that, it's also, how does this make life easier for our faculty, and how does this make life easier for our students? Because, you know, the students will say it's cool, but nobody's coming to Drexel saying, "Yeah, they got that 12K video wall,
right,
man."
So there's another Sony product that was an audio. I don't remember. I actually have it on my phone. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what it's called, my phone works for me. Spatial audio technology. So they had basically a sound bar, and the sound effects were three-dimensional essentially. But depending on what monitor you stood in, there were three different languages.
Oh.
So if you stood in the center, it was in English. If you stood on the left, it was in French, and if you whatever, you know.
Yeah. But Swahili.
But it was very cool that, you know, you could have multiple languages in the same environment, and just depending on where you were standing, you would be able to hear that. So, along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what I look at when we come here is how can we improve the teaching environment, whether or the learning environment, whichever way you want to look at it. You know, I spent a long time on the academic side. We only supported the teachers, did not support the students. And I never understood that when I was reorganized. We started looking at both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our job is to enhance and support the education on our campuses. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's the wow factor out there, but that's not gonna help the students learn or help the instructors teach. You know, maybe there is something with a wow factor that can do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can get those in and they're affordable, let's look out. Mm-hmm. But let's find the things that are, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, they're not the real fancy things. They're not the...
For example, and Gina and I have talked about this and everything. Some of the huddle blocks we started putting out in like just the general congregation areas. Now, is that going to make the grades go up by 20% or anything? No, but at the same time, when you have students have at least a little bit more of a comfort in either the classroom or in the non-traditional learning spaces and everything, they can focus more on the academics, which increases the graduation rate.
I mean, I think what you're trying to do, right, is to retain students, and students are easier to retain if they're engaged in the campus, if they're engaged in the school, and that comes down to, you know, what do you do, number one, to keep them there? So you're providing charging opportunities, and especially for commuter students, you're better able to have them stay on campus, where they have a pride for their school. That's a growing pride. It's easier to retain a student and cheaper than to recruit new students, right? And there's always that sense of competition. So how do you help them succeed in retaining them?
Well, let's go back to the huddle station you mentioned. What we found is that if the students are sitting around a huddle station discussing something, a professor is very likely to engage with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with five or six students, additional discussion, he'll hear what was going on, and it relates to what he just taught, or maybe even relates to something he taught to a different group of students, and these are talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. He'll stop and join in the conversation, and the students feel more engaged. They feel like the professors care about them at that point.
Yeah, so that's what I really kind of enjoy about the show is just it's there is the ooh and ah factor, but there's also more of the how do we make our campus better. So that's all we really have for the show and everything. Jason, where can the fine folks find you online? Can they find you on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram?
No,
you don't have to do the
Instagram.
No Instagram. Just LinkedIn?
Nope, I got rid of my LinkedIn account as well.
All right, fair enough. You can find
you
him
cannot
on...
Find, just find
you
me
can find
Drexel.
Him on... Yeah, there you go. Gina, they can find you on LinkedIn as well as Twitter?
They can find me on LinkedIn and also on Twitter at @FSR_EDU and at Gina Sands.
Mr. Ernie Bailey?
Find me on LinkedIn.
Fair enough. You can find me on Twitter as well as LinkedIn, and more than likely you'll probably find me on the show floor today.